You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Come out of the world, oh my people, seek the truth, avoid the evil, learn Yahweh's ways, Torah life ministries, come out of the world.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan.
Shalom, brothers and sisters of the faith. This is Paul Nisan, and my website's TorahLifeMinistries.org. For those of you that know me, wonderful. For those of you that don't, and you're joining me on a live stream, or if you're watching this at a later time, I want to discuss a topic right now that is becoming a big issue, and I've been discussing it for a long time, and it's not necessarily the issue of modesty. It's the issue of our heart. In essence, modesty is a heart issue, and specifically what I want to discuss right now is, and I'm open for comments, that's why I'm doing this live, is when I would teach modesty all over the country, I would get two types of people, people whose eyes have been opened to the understanding of the importance of purity and modesty, but then people that were very defensive about the topic and very defensive about not dressing modest. But the term modest is quite open when it comes to scripture because there's no clear-cut guideline of what modesty is. And that's what I did my best to describe in my videos about modesty is the principle of modesty according to the scriptures, that it's a heart issue, number one, and number two, how it's reflected on the outside of how our appearance should be, even though there's no clear set guideline in scriptures. And I spoke about and speak about often, not necessarily what modest is, but what modest isn't. And I explained that. Well, I have a local congregation, and I travel to many congregations all over the country throughout the years, and I see the way people dress. I also recently started to take a class at a local Sunday-keeping church, and as I go there specifically and see the way people are dressed, I think more people there are sexy than modest, and or they appear to have a sexier look than a modest look. And they put on the makeup to get in a certain atmosphere, high heels. There's no limit to the lack of modesty in this, most mega churches out there today, from my experience of traveling to several, and not even mega churches, mid-level churches. But as for the local Hebraic communities as well, there's an issue. And it might not be the makeup and the high heels, but still I see an issue with the lack of thought that goes into how we should appear ourselves on this holy set-apart day and congregation that we're going to meet with Yahweh and Yahweh's people. And meaning, you know, men would wear shorts, women come in tank tops, smaller home fellowships. They think this is a small environment. It's still, modesty goes out the window. It's not important. Remember, modesty isn't just about covering up. It's also about, you know, it's also about being clean on every level and grooming and so on. So there appears to be a lack of connection when it comes to this topic. And my major concern, or first major concern, was the mega churches out there and seeing the way people dress or don't dress or lack thereof. But then at the local congregations and the home fellowships, seeing people's disregard for this topic as well, and not getting all spoofed up and all made up to come to church or to a congregation assembly, but not doing anything, lack of doing anything. So on both sides of it, it's an issue. And when we come together to you know, it's not about other people around us. It's about us coming together with our Creator. But we have to acknowledge that there are other people around us. And we are with other people. And it's quite interesting of the standard today where somebody can go to a funeral or a wedding. Well, I'll say a funeral at least, and they seek to be somewhat covered up. Weddings, you know, most people today are just trying to get that sexy look as they are in a mega church today. But I wrote a letter here that hopefully, and I'm writing this letter to you because people contact me often about their congregation and their assembly, and how should people dress, or how should the issue be addressed. And I've had people over the years come to my fellowship that might not have been dressed appropriately in my eyes, but I took it to local women to address the women, and men to address the men. Remember, this isn't just a woman issue, it's a man issue as well. And we're brothers and sisters here. And as the word says, to lift each other up and not create a stumbling block for each other. So I wrote a little draft letter here, and I'm open to your feedback about it. But basically, this is to help those. And if you want this, if you contact me at the website, I can send you a copy of this letter. You can use this as a outline or a proof, a model or something to pass around your congregation, maybe. I'm going to a Feast of Tabernacles, a set apart appointment of our Creator. And I like the modesty guides that I see on these websites about when you come to the feast, you're taking these days to spend with others to celebrate Yahweh's holy feast, and we should be coming dressed with a modest heart and also in our outer appearance. And they have guidelines. But in the local congregations or the local home churches, there doesn't seem to be guidelines. And people seem to be scared almost to have guidelines of the way people should dress or shouldn't dress. And just what might not bother you might be an issue for somebody else. And we just got to respect the whole situation involved. So, shalom, brothers and sisters. I would like each of you to pray about the spiritual wholeness of the local fellowship and the impact on others as we do our best to glorify Yeshua, our Messiah. So that's how it starts here. And this is what we need to think about. That's who we're trying to bring glory to Him. So you have to think, if somebody's coming to your local fellowship or to your, even if it's a bigger church, you know, if it's somebody walking in for the first time, it's one thing. But if you're introducing somebody at your congregation and they're looking more like they're going to a disco dance than they are looking like they're going to a church, and then that new person hears that they've been going there for years, what kind of example is that going to set? And it says, in doing this, please consider the attitude of propriety and decency in the way we, in our appearance, in our dress. So we all need to do our best, or let's all do our best not to draw undue attention to ourselves, instead to seek Yahweh and glorify Him in our body. So this is what we need to do. So our clothing expresses who we are. It sends a message about us, and it influences the way we and others act. When we are well-groomed and modestly dressed, we can invite the companionship of the set-apart spirit and exercise a good influence on those around us. And for those that get offended or defensive about something like this, well, you know, it's time somebody spoke up and told you about it. You're only going to get defensive about this if you're guilty. And it's not something I glorify and calling somebody out on, because it says in the Bible in Ezekiel 33:11, our Creator says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live, so they can have life. And somebody might say, well, so you're calling somebody wicked now if they're not dressed appropriately? No, but it is a wicked act that people need, their attention need to be brought up to it. Now, once their intent is brought up to them, if they still decide to defend it, yes, that is wickedness. That's clear wickedness. So you have to decide what happens with the message. So central to the command to be modest in an understanding of the sacred power of procreation, the ability to bring children into the world, this power is to be used only between a husband and a wife. Revealing and sexually suggestive clothing, which includes skirts above the knees, including slit sides above the knee, tight clothing, shirts that do not cover the stomach or the shoulders, and shirts that reveal the chest area, can stimulate desires and actions that violate Yahweh's law of chastity. And this is just the honest truth. And some, maybe most people will not have an issue with these because they're so stimulated in today's world or so used to today's world by seeing billboards and other things out there that you know, I mean, if I'm driving down the highway and there's a woman in a bikini, I'm not really going to be too affected by a woman who's wearing somewhat modest clothing or even clothing in general. But we look at the standard of our Creator and the congregation or the assembly as a whole and how we should behave and how we should act. And it's kind of like stress almost. You know, we're so used to being in stressful environments today that stress doesn't affect us on the level of stress. Because look, if when people are driving on horse and buggies and you fast forward them 100 years later and you put them in a car and go and take them on a highway going 100 miles an hour, they are going to be stressed out, and it's going to show. So we get in our car going 100 miles an hour, but we don't show any stress because we're used to doing that. But it doesn't mean it's not a stressful environment. So as we think about this and we see this, it says, as we think about how we would present ourselves in the presence of Yahweh, shorts on men or on women are undergarments and not appropriate attire for fellowship. Modest skirts are preferred for women. However, if pants are worn, please make sure that you are in a shirt long enough to cover the front and back sides and your private parts. They're called private parts for a reason. And many people are so used to this in today's society of just seeing women with tight pants and revealing their private parts pretty much that it doesn't affect them. But the point is, and the bottom line is, they are private parts for a reason. And the scriptures give clear guidelines. Modesty isn't about covering your skin. It's about covering the shape of your body. And it's not about wearing a garbage bag or something else. It's about presenting yourself as if the presence of Yahweh was there, because that's what we're seeking for when we come to a congregation or assembly or a church, is for His presence to be on that group of people that's coming together in prayer and worship. You know that His presence is there, and if you were to sit down knowing that our Creator was going to be there next to you, how would you appear? How would you get dressed up? So this is what we need to think about. And, you know, again, we hear the term private parts. They're supposed to be private. And look, when I go to a congregational fellowship, I don't want to see women's breasts. Look, when you bend down, if your shirt's hanging down where you could clearly see your breast, your shirt is too loose. You know, and good for women that will put their hand there to make sure they don't see nothing. But still, your shirt is too loose. You know, and if your clothing clearly outlines your whole body and every shape of your body, your clothes are too tight. I mean, we can't just let something we're used to control our thoughts and say, well, it's okay to go to fellowship like this. I have a video, Modesty According to the Scriptures. I have several videos on my YouTube page and website about this. But I'm talking specifically right now for fellowship with one another. Are there standards loosened if you're not in fellowship? Well, let me put it this way. How many people would, or Christians in general, would I ask, would you go to church in a bikini? And they say, absolutely not. It's totally inappropriate. And I said, well, why do you go to the beach in a bikini? And it's not appropriate either. Just because everyone else is doing it doesn't change it to make it appropriate. And I have a whole nother video about Christians in bikinis on my website, but it's just, we need to understand Yahweh's presence isn't only in the local assembly where we're going, or not only do we want to be there, but He sees us wherever we are and whatever we're doing, He sees us. And when we wake up and go out to get dressed, are we looking in the mirror to look at our backside to see how we look and look at us? Or are we really thinking about how Yahweh would want us to cover the treasure that he gave us and so on? And it is a treasure, and it's something that's reserved for only one other person on this planet and not for the world to be seeing. And I have a video, a CD, and it's a great CD. It's called Holy Eyes, and it's something I highly recommend people get. It's a CD, Holy Eyes, by a fellow named Laser Brody. Check that out. So it says, and again, if you're convicted or you're feeling bad about what I'm saying right now, good, then this is for you. You know, you don't have to, you know, just repent and move forward and make that change. Okay, one of the things we should take into account as we fellowship is that we are rehearsing for the wedding between Yeshua and His bride. Also, please bear in mind that all this works best when there is kindness and shalom towards one another. So this is the ending of the letter, but this is such an important issue that so many brothers and sisters are stumbling about. And in the guidelines that I give here, I'm not saying, oh, your shirt needs to be 2.3 inches above your elbow or anything like this, but I'm just giving clear, good guidelines, not of really of what modesty is, but what modesty isn't. not just really how we should appear at our local fellowship or congregation, but how we shouldn't appear. And when I go to either it's a local fellowship or the mega church, I see people breaking this. So revealing and sexual suggestive clothing includes skirts above the knees. And that includes when you sit down. It's not appropriate for fellowship. It's not appropriate in general. And that includes slits on the side of skirts that go above the knee. And tight clothing in general, tight clothing, completely unacceptable. Again, modesty is about covering the shape of your body, and shirts that do not cover the stomach or the shoulders. You're best off just walking around in a bra in that case. And some of you don't see an issue with that, but obviously there is an issue with that. And then shirts that reveal the chest area. This is what designers purposely do. They make shirts with V-necks. Actually, it's an arrow pointing down, a V-neck. And somehow, whether you're bending down or whether you're not bending down, if it reveals the shape or even the actual flesh of your breast, it's something that's not acceptable, not modest, and certainly not acceptable for fellowship. And this is just it, you know. And also, if shorts are undergarments, they were always meant to be undergarments in Scripture, and they were never meant to be outer garments. So whether it's man or women, because I've seen cases of men in fellowship sitting down, and not only were they wearing shorts, but people can see up their shorts, because that's how lack of attention to people were paying to, or the person wearing the shorts were. But shorts in general are just not appropriate for fellowship. And in general, they're undergarments, so they're not modest. So again, I'm not telling you how to dress at your local fellowship. I'm telling you how not to dress. So, and that's what I'm letting you know here. So these are things to consider, to work about. And if you do wear pants, even for men or women, it's appropriate to cover your area, to cover your private parts. It's appropriate. And remember, we don't know what other people's struggles are. We don't know what they're going through, and we don't want to create any stumbling blocks. And the designers, you know, I know a lot of women think pants, if they're loose, they're okay. But I'm telling you, the designers have different ideas, and you don't know how certain men think, and you should be covering your body completely. And it's so great. I get a comment here to say, wait, a little legalistic, somebody would say and call me a little legalistic. Oh, what a great compliment to be called legalistic according to Yahweh's guidelines and instructions. People get up on a regular basis to follow the many laws of the land, not passing a red light, stopping at a stoplight. I don't think when a cop pulls them over, they say the cop, you know, I don't think they tell the cop, well, I don't want to be legalistic today. No, they understand that these laws there are for a reason. These guidelines and instructions there are for a reason. And what a great compliment that somebody would even suggest that I'm being legalistic, because, you know, real legalism is trying to do something without Yeshua Messiah. And I'm trying to express this because of Yeshua Messiah. So that's the difference. But thank you for that compliment to say legalistic. I'd rather be extra cautious than walk around and with no look. If I showed up with no shirt and shorts to a local fellowship, I would hope somebody said something. And it doesn't make a difference if you're a man or a woman or something else. So this is just going to help you if you have a local fellowship and if you want a copy of this letter to send to them, or if you're struggling with it, or if there are people struggling with it. This is something that needs to be known. And you need to be thinking about this too, just wherever you are, on pictures you're posting on the internet, or just your daily lifestyle. These guidelines, again, would be wise to follow and wise to understand. So I'm glad to be doing this live right now, but you could also put your comments and questions below the videos later. And again, there are many reasons why I'm putting this out, and many reasons why I'm saying this, but it just needs to be said. It needs to be spoken about. So those of you, you know, some people say, well, you know, if you keep this up, nobody's going to want to come to a local fellowship. Well, if you're going to be dressed like that, maybe we don't want you there. But ultimately, the idea is that you would repent and dress modestly, and we should be seeking our Creator and not have to be even concerning ourselves with these conversations. And it says in the Bible, a spiritual person judges all things, and we need to discern each other and help us to lift us up and not tear us down. So this is one of the reasons why we're discussing this here. So I pray people are getting this and understand this and can be blessed by this. And I'm going to bring my brother here who's staying with me right now, who's been a believer for over 40 years, and he's seen this, like me, going to many congregations all over the world and sees what's happening. And like I said, I go to a Sunday church every week to take a particular class I'm taking, and I see the way they're dressing there. And then I go to the local fellowship and see the way they're dressing there. You know, I'm happy to say there are many people that do get it, but there are some people that still don't get it. And we need to address this situation with sensitivity, but it does need to be addressed. So as we address this situation, that's what I'm doing here to try to help you help yourself. As for shoes, absolutely, in a mega church or anywhere else, high heels are not accepted. Remember, I'm not saying heels, I'm saying high heels. They're not accepted at all. And I have other videos on the internet about high heels and how they're more the works of the devil than anything else, and they should never be worn. But for my particular local fellowship, we take our shoes off before we come in the house. So that hasn't become an issue. But when I go to the local Sunday church, and it's just bewildering to me how people don't see a problem with this, and so many people are in these really high heels, and they don't have an issue with it. And I mean, it's just really sad that somebody would just be so deceived, but hopefully more people will get it and understand. So let's have a brother share here. Lily, you want to pull that up and just share a little about what you've seen over the years in these congregations, and is the problem getting better or worse when we see what's happening? This is Brother Baruch here. And do you see the problem getting better or worse with what people are wearing to these congregations and these churches?
Well, worse. We're just, you know, living in a day and time where, you know, wrong is right and right is wrong. And it's just it's an epidemic of abuse to in this area, you know. But just like so many other things, we're living in a decline of a civilization, and things are going south fast. And this is just one of the areas where things are falling apart. And a friend of mine a couple of years ago wrote an article. It's called Cleavage in the Church and in the assembly and the congregation. But that's something that definitely we people shouldn't have to deal with. And it's more of a thing of the heart. We understand that. I mean, if you've been a believer for some years, it should be pretty much a simple thing to you. But for people who are new, yeah, they might need some explanation. You know, young people see things a lot different. And I mean, which is just happened to be wrong. So they need education in these areas. But and that's why we're here. And somebody's got to stand up and let their voice be heard. And we all have maybe a little different standards. You know, I would probably say mine are probably stricter than Paul's even. But nevertheless, we want to educate people, and they ultimately have to answer to Yah for themselves. And we want to be watchmen. We want to do our part, and we want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem, and educate people in these matters.
Exactly. And we're not trying to make this into a salvation issue or anything like that, but we're trying to explain people the heart issue. And this is a great example of where your heart truly is. And because of deception and conforming to the world today and just the way we're brought up, and there's many reasons why people won't see this message or see the problem that's going on. But there is a problem, and it needs to be spoken about. And the more it's spoken about, more people would wake up. You know, lust and pornography has definitely become an issue today. And when I see a billboard or a sign on the highway driving to the local church of an immodestly dressed woman or a man in a certain ad, and I think it's very sad that that's even there. But then when I go to the church and I see people getting out of their cars, it looks like they came right off the billboard and they're walking into the church. So you figure I get away from the church and I try to come to a local fellowship or even create a local fellowship to avoid all that. And then often, not often, but sometimes you see the same issue. So, you know, we're not perfect. We're trying to get it right. But again, this needs to be spoken about, and I wish more people would speak about it. And I think a letter like this is a very light way to deal with the subject. And there's a way in Scripture to deal with people that aren't conforming to Torah or to the guidelines and instructions that can be addressed another time in a different way how to approach things. But again, not telling people what to wear, but just what's not, you know, good for fellowship or just good for modesty in Yahweh's heart. You know, we're not looking down or on anyone, you know, and, you know, we have our own issues we got to deal with, but we just want to help each other to learn more and get stuff like this right. Is anything else you want to share here about this?
But yeah, the idea, I mean, I don't know how people are defining this term. Legalists, but yeah, what's wrong with being legal? I mean, I don't get it. You know, what's wrong with doing what's right and being observant in the things we can be as believers? We're not adding to Yah's word or definitely not trying to take away from it. So we want to hold it within the context of scriptures. That's something that would be appropriate and that would please our Heavenly Father. We aim to please, you know. Yes, if we have to err on the side of caution, I get accused of that a lot, and I don't mind it. I mean, what's wrong with that? You know, I mean, I'm gonna be, you know, I'm not forcing my ideas, but personally for myself, yeah, I want to err on the side of caution. That's what I want to do. You know, if like the old lady said, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. You know, so stay the heck away from it. You know, that's my take on it.
Again, it's not a, you know, an opinion thing. It's a scripture thing. The scriptures are clear on this principle that our bodies need to be covered. And we're at a time now where, you know, people take pride in their nakedness. But as we go back and review the scriptures, nakedness and shame went hand in hand. So we have to get back to that idea and not seeking to be shamed and seek to be holy and set apart. And so that's what I pray people do. It's my prayer that more congregational leaders and church leaders would be aware of this and stand up to this and not worry about the size of their congregation and how much money they're going to be losing when people leave and seek more fellowshipping with people that have a righteous heart and are seeking not to create stumbling blocks for others and dressing in somewhat modest way and just avoiding these things that clearly are not modest or righteous in today's world. And a great place to start is the congregation, the local assembly, or even the local mega church. It's a great place to start. And it's my prayer that people would take this out of there and just take it to the streets, this message of just being holy to the streets. And yes, for some of you, it might be a big change, but you know what? You know, we need to get closer to him and draw close to him. And a great way we could do that is by living it. And again, it's a scripture in the Bible that says, you know, as the heart reflects the person, you know, as a face is reflected in water, the heart reflects the person and the appearance. So thank you, everybody, and shalom, shalom. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you'd like to learn more, please visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 561-283-1707. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33416. Thank you for your prayers and support.
Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasure.